I'm Brad Humphrey, and we're joined again with Malcolm Yarnell. It's been a couple of weeks since we've been together.
Yes.
Heard that the two last week did a great job.
Yeah.
That's what I keep hearing. Deb and Karen are on their game when they're together. It's really fun to hear that feedback. In today's sermon on meekness, I found something that Barclay had written in one of his commentaries. I just thought I'd share it with you because it does play off of that word. Is it pros?
Prowse.
I've heard it pronounced differently, but it's clear that the word prowse means far more than the English word meek now means. It is, in fact, clear that there's no one English word which will translate it, although perhaps the word gentle comes nearest to it. Yeah. The full translation of this third beatitude must read, and here's what he writes, "Oh, the bliss of those who are always angry at the right time and never angry at the wrong time, who have every instinct, impulse, and passion under control because they themselves are God-controlled, who have the humility to realize their own ignorance and their own weakness, for such people can indeed rule the world."
That's good.
It is really good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I thought it was. Could you kind of expand on that? Not necessarily expand on Barclay, but expand on...
Yeah.
And I guess the reason I say that, like the people at that time, Mark did a great job of explaining the fact that those listening to the Beatitudes, it might have literally questioned.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not so sure we are that different today.
Yeah. One thing that struck me from the quote Barclay here is that he captured something that Jesus emphasized: "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." There is an eschatological understanding. It is about timing,
right,
as he says. So there is a time for everything under the sun, as Ecclesiastes teaches us. There is a time for peace. There's also a time for war. There is a time to be gentle. There is also a time for anger.
Mm-hmm.
The thing for us to realize is that the Lord himself has told us that that time where the judgment of God is coming, and where actually the saints will participate in that judgment because we will be kings and priests under God exercising rule. This is the millennium. That time is in his timing, not ours.
Mm.
And that's that. Mark talks about that sense of control. We have this desire to be in control because it gives us a sense of security. And what meekness says is that I am going to trust the Lord to be in control even when I don't understand. But also knowing there's a time aspect to this. The meek shall inherit the earth.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, sometimes we see this in this world. You know, you look at the horrific events in eastern Ukraine right now. And we want God to bring judgment and to stop this great evil. Well, God works in his own timing. And I think it's just fascinating that right now the Russian army is getting chewed up in Ukraine.
Yeah.
By Western weapons and Ukrainian bravery, courage. And there's a lot of death going on.
Mm.
But God will bring about, if you're proud, God will bring about humility.
Mm.
He will either break you in this life or he will break you in the next. And our understanding ought to be God's in control. I'm low. I'm humble. And he will do his will and bring about justice in the right time. So I think his emphasis on timing is absolutely necessary.
Mm-hmm.
There is a time for us to be meek, and that is now. In the future, when God brings his judgment, and his judgment will be thorough, then he will involve us in the judgment as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just going to be glad that we're recipients of his mercy.
Exactly. And the thing that I struggle with, because I don't think the word meek, I understand, I lived it, I think, and I still fight that meek means weak.
Yes, it does not mean weak. It
doesn't mean that. Yeah.
It means, and I love how Mark put it, it doesn't mean powerlessness, it means power under control. And that means knowing when to act and when not to act.
Yeah, which to me says, and because I, you know, in what I do with leadership development, so much of it I do a lot of times built around profiles. And so meekness is not necessarily a personality trait as much as it can be those of us that don't have it naturally, that we can, it's a God, it can be a God-given thing, a God-directed thing. I see.
Galatians 5 and 6 make pretty clear that meekness is a spiritual gift.
In fact, Paul lists meekness as one of the fruits of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness.
Meekness.
Self-control. And those are things that we are to work to build into our lives.
Right. And it's something, it is a gift, but a gift has to be received, right? Yeah. And that means we have to learn to receive that. In our age, and I love how Mark put it, you know, we want the Messiah to be Rambo. Yeah. And he comes, and the Messiah works as, it's better than my reference last week to Cheech and Chong, I know. Yeah. But it comes...
I dig your vibe, man.
it comes with an understanding that we know God has power.
Yeah. Yeah.
God is sovereign.
That's right.
But God is going to work in his way, and the meek person is the one who says, I know my place in reference to God, and I'm going to surrender to his way of doing it.
Peter says that Christians are to witness to others in a spirit of meekness. 1 Peter 3:15, which is actually one of my favorite verses, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. But here's where it ends, with meekness and fear.
So we never approach another person with pride.
Not supposed to. Not supposed to.
That's what I meant. But we're not supposed to approach other people with pride. And I fear that, we're still all works in progress. Mm-hmm. So we're still working out the fleshliness of that pride within us. And we need to approach people. I like how I think it may have been D.L. Moody who said it again, and D.L. Moody was quoted in this sermon. I'm just one beggar showing another where he or she can find a piece of bread.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's right. So, you know what's also interesting about meekness? You know, the verb prous or prous, and by the way, the pronunciation of an ancient language has... As scholars have divided for years over this, so it's just PRS with two
well, they had a northern and a southern accent too.
It might have been being praus, who knows, you know. But the need for people to be meek is tied up with God's sovereignty.
Mm.
And Karen and I were talking about the book of Job this morning. I think that Job is a perfect example of someone who was learning humility by recognizing that he couldn't see into heaven. He couldn't see everything that was going on.
Right.
But we get a glimpse at the beginning of the book of Job that God is in control. And then and in the middle, you have all these speeches by Job's three friends. And then by Eliphaz, the fourth one, correcting the first three, then Job speaks. And who has the last words? God himself.
Mm-hmm.
And when he comes towards the end and God speaks, he begins by saying, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And by the time God is finished, after showing who he is, his greatness, that he is in control, by the end, Job is like, I'm sorry, I should not have opened my mouth. And, you know, because we want to judge God. God, why did you allow this? Why did you do this? Why did you allow this evil in my life? Why did you allow me to be hurt? And why did you tell me to practice restraint in my response to this?
See, what's interesting you say that, because I see Job a little differently. I see him as a guy that had a sense of meekness, because he would sacrifice on behalf of his children.
Oh yeah.
And so there had to be some humility in order to do that. I don't think he was just trying to cover all the bases.
Yeah.
I think there was a true love for that. And then to sit through, his wife basically tells him, ditch your life,
curse God and
curse God. your three buddies, supposedly, they sit with you for a week, which is a great sign of friendship, right? As we talked about that a few weeks ago. And then the younger gentleman that comes in,
yeah.
The fourth one that makes the comments, and I'm at the point where I'm not so sure if I was in Job's shoes. I don't know that I wouldn't have responded in the same way. Mm-hmm. I'm just surprised it took so long.
I'm surprised. I think he was incredibly weak. But you know what's interesting? The word for, and this is what I was going to say, the Old Testament was translated from the Hebrew and Aramaic into the Greek.
Yeah.
And the Greek word is the word we're talking about. And that word is used to translate a number of Hebrew words. So the meekness. It's used of Moses, as Pastor Mark pointed out. It's never used of God in the Old Testament. And the reason
What is the word in the Aramaic? I mean, what would
it be? Well, in the Hebrew, I'd have to go and find it. It's actually several words. Hold on, and I'll tell you.
Because in the Numbers 12:3 verse, which was read this morning, now the man Moses was very meek.
Yeah. It's used for Anu and also for Anup. So those two words is what it's used for. But it's not used of God for this reason. Because God is high and exalted, and everything else is below him. What I also find interesting about that is it's used in the New Testament of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. So he, and you know, Philippians 2, he who did not grasp at being God because he is God.
Right.
He humbled himself and took on, he became lowly, he became meek.
Yeah.
By becoming a human being. And so God himself, I think what meekness is understanding who you really are. There is a God and we're all creatures. God is perfect and we are not, especially after sin. We are definitely not perfect. And meekness, true human meekness, is always understanding that God is all powerful and all righteous. And I'm not at any power and any righteousness that I receive is a gift of God. That to me is meek. Meekness is knowing who you are and where you stand in the order of things.
Well, and who I'm under control of.
That's right. And who is it?
God. It's God, right.
And it's God. And I think a lot of our problems in our society come about because we forget who is really the one in control, and that is God. And when we try to grasp for power, and people do it all the time, when we try to grasp for power that God did not give us and does not call us to exercise, we're acting like Satan. Because Satan wants power over humanity, and so he goes and he deceives humanity.
But I'm not arguing with you, but I want to see if I can draw something else out. Because I think there's a few people in this group that feels the same way. I bet Deb will relate to this. I would have never been accused of being meek in all of my life. I think that's fair. But not meek for the wrong reasons, but because I'm not quiet. Okay, I'm throwing Karen in there now, too. Yeah, you get it, don't you?
They can't see it online, but Jeannie's got the biggest smile on her face right now.
If someone were to say, when Jean and I first got married, oh, you're marrying such a meek guy, she would have just broke down and laughed. All right? But not because I was a bad guy, but
right.
Because I was the guy that, you know, at one church that I pastored, I never forget the service that they huddled around Jeannie and me. They said, thank you for being the tip of the spear for our church. Because we went through some really bad stuff. Mm. And I took it.
Mm.
And I wanted to lash out so much. And I remember calling a good buddy of mine, Bill Scar, who's a pastor over at First Baptist at Grand Prairie. Bill's a great guy. But Bill gave me the best counsel. He says, Brad, I know your heart. I know where your spirit is. He says, don't respond.
Yeah.
Don't respond. He said, it'll do more damage to the other side.
And but see, that was meekness.
It was. But people don't see that. And
no.
and it's almost like you don't manifest that.
No.
It's when situations arise and how you respond to that. and that's what I've always, but I've always fought that because I'm not a mild-mannered guy. God gave me the spirit. I'm a Peter. I want to get on the water and start walking. And I know, and I kick myself in the
foot. And you're like James and John. You want to call down the fire.
Absolutely. Now. And I know that's not meekness in one sense, but the fact is when God's in really truly in control of my mind, which he is most of the time, when I don't push him out, I know that there's a right way to approach things.
Yes.
And I guess I'm just begging you to tell me that is meekness, Brad.
It is. So you are given righteousness, you're given power by God.
Yeah.
The possession of that power and the possession of that righteousness is not of yourself.
Mm.
So you understand that.
Mm-hmm.
That is an attitude of meekness immediately. Mm-hmm. Knowing when to exercise that and when not to exercise that. So God fills Brad with power, and that's obvious in your life and in your personality. He fills your life with power. He fills you with a thirst for righteousness, and you see unrighteousness, and you want to bring justice.
Mm-hmm.
Meekness is knowing to wait till God says, now you can act in your power that I've given you. Mm-hmm. Now you can bring about the righteousness that you see. But until I tell you, you have to wait.
You know, one of the best examples, and it's not biblical, by the way, though, even though my favorite character is Ruth in the Bible, I just love Ruth. Her story.
A very meek character.
Yeah. Was Corrie Ten Boom. You know, I was in an all-star football game at a high school, and I remember I took the book with me. I've shared that with the class before. Sure, and I read it during the camp there before the game. And it changed my life. I mean, here was this woman, young at the time, who was
powerless.
Powerless. Totally powerless. But she never gave up her faith. And, in fact, the Nazis knew how much they had emboldened her to strengthen her. They would have killed her earlier. But the fact was, she lived through that, lived to write the story about it. And it's just a tremendous example of meekness.
Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes we see power located in the wrong place because we see misused power. So,
yeah.
I mean, Corrie Ten Boom, Anne Frank would be another one.
Yeah.
These are people that don't have power in the eyes of the world, and yet they have great moral and spiritual power.
Yeah.
And it's because of the presence of God.
Yeah.
And I think we need to be more like those people.
Mm.
And that's not easy to do.
Let me give you the chance to comment on this, too. I think this is great. And we don't think of Moses in this way. I didn't either. As much as Mark did. It's such a wonderful job bringing out. Now, the man Moses was very meek above all the men who were upon the face of the earth. You know, you're going back to read that chapter when God's chewing out Miriam and Aaron. And prophets are given visions. Man, God spoke to Moses.
Face to face.
Oh, just like you and I. I mean, expand on that a little bit. I mean.
Yeah, no, I mean, there is a special relationship between Moses and God, but it didn't come overnight.
No.
God had to prepare Moses for that. I love the quote, and we mentioned D.L. Moody's quote, but I'd love to just say it. And you think about back to Moses, Prince of Egypt.
Yeah.
He murders a man who's persecuting his own people, the Israelites. He murders an Egyptian leader. He flees into the wilderness. And so Moody says Moses spent 40 years thinking he was somebody. And then he spent 40 years on the backside of the desert thinking he was nobody. And finally, he spent the last 40 years learning what God can do with a nobody. And I think that's right. We are nobodies. And we've got to depend upon God. In my own life, if I can be a little autobiographical here, for me, in some ways, the struggle has been the other way because I don't really look at myself as much. And I've always had that in my life just because of my upbringing, difficulties in my upbringing and so on. But you've got to see yourself as who you are, truly. A meek person understands who they are in the eyes of God, in the order of God's mind.
Mm.
And that means we see ourselves under
Christ. When you're a believer, you are under Christ. You have the King of creation as your personal Savior. He is your Lord. He's in control of your life. And that means that nobody else has that role in your life other than Jesus Christ. Which means that when we treat each other rightly, we treat each other recognizing that Christ is over every single one of us, over every church, over every community, over every nation, and each of us are directly responsible to Him. And then we must, under His Lordship, treat each other with dignity. Mm-hmm. But that dignity and that righteousness mm-hmm. doesn't mean that there are never times that you don't exercise the power and the righteousness, because, you know, I don't know the story of your life, but I can imagine it knowing you. But there was a time where you had to exercise your voice mm-hmm. in righteousness mm-hmm. and you had to use restrained power. Mm-hmm. But it's knowing when to use the power and the righteousness God has given you in such a way that you inculcate more or you bring about more righteousness. Before we leave, and I know we need to be closing up and you have some things that the Lord has laid on your heart, can I just give you a quick idea of what the prowess or prouse yes. or prouse means? And that is this. Hold on just a second. The idea of the meek is tied up with the idea of being gentle and of being restrained. And it's the opposite of the one who is rude and proud and boasts of themselves. The meek person is the person who says, I'm going to submit to God. James chapter 2 refers to meekness as having the meekness to receive the word of God. Mm-hmm. So the meek person is the one who says, I will receive what God teaches and I will submit to that word. And I think that's important for us to do. Submit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. You know, one thing to build on that, it was kind of a continuation of the Galatians 5 verses we read about the gifts, but put on then as God's chosen ones, and Colossians 3:12, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. But I love 13, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Jonathan did such a good job of that last night as well. For God so loved the world. You know, to work that backwards is so awesome. But Mark hits it as well. And the point is you know, when he talks about putting on, I mean, it's almost like it is literally addressing up, putting on, like you would put on a shirt and pants. And I love that, though, if bearing with one another. The reason I love that phrase in verse 13 is because it's almost as if Paul is giving commentary on the first 12. Holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. But then the execution of that is immediately stated, bearing with one another. Mm. Because, you know, quite honestly, Malcolm, the hardest people I've ever seen to deal with are Christian churchgoers. You know, my dad was in the ministry as an executive pastor at Northwest Bible Church for years, and he said some of the meanest people in the world were church people. And he said it's sad. He said, you know, can't we all realize how forgiven we are, and how much full of mercy that we need to be sharing with one another? He said if we did half of what we're doing now, the church would be so much stronger and probably a better representative in the country and around the world.
Mark and I were speaking last night about how we've seen other ministers who put out correct doctrine,
mm-hmm.
but their lives don't match.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be a believer in Jesus Christ, you have to actually start to look like Jesus Christ mm-hmm. as well. And I think that's a challenge for each of us. We are works in progress. Mm-hmm. We're not perfect yet. Mm-hmm. But as we grow in the truth, we will become more like the truth.
Yeah.
And truth is not just a concept. Truth is a person. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if you have truth, you will become like Christ. And Christ himself is the ultimate standard of what our lives should be like. And Christ is meek, more meek than Moses.
For sure.
And he is the one whom we must imitate in our lives.
I sent Mark just a word of encouragement this morning early on a quote that I found from A.W. Tozier. Mm-hmm. And it was impelling. I need to send it to you too. But the point is that as a pastor, he said, where are the pastors that preach with confidence? Preach with power. Not out of anger, but out of the right motivators and that type of thing. But he was just talking about how so many coming out of seminary are not that way, and you would know as an individual dealt with. Can we close in prayer? Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for Brother Mark and his gift to us as he gives every Sunday. Father, thank you so much for the message on meekness. And Father, as an individual who just seems to almost fight it at times, I appreciate Malcolm's word of encouragement to all of us. And it really is, Father, something that it is a gift that you give us. Father, it is something that we can work on if we're weak. Father, thank you so much for those that are listening, either live here or be listening to the podcast. And Father, we really do, like the message last night, we want people to come to know you. And if there are those listening that are already believers, we pray that they would grow deeper in their relationship with you, fall more in love with you. Father, if they've never accepted you, I pray that they would do that. And to visit with a brother or sister who can walk them through those really easy steps. Father, thank you for Malcolm. I do continue to thank you first for his friendship, but Father, for his commitment to you. And he takes some time out on Sundays, Father, to spend with us. And Father, thank you for what you've done in his life and Karen's life. Continue to bless him. And what a blessing for his confirmation for his daughter to come home and have those kind of things said about her. So that's awesome. Father, we thank you for those that are here. We pray for those that are not. We pray for the sicknesses. We pray for healing. And Father, we love you more than anything else. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.